Welcome to the 941 podcast. I'm your host, the walking, talking Apple product, Apple Tech Video, and I'm joined here with the Rhino, Mr. R.
What's up?
And I'm joined here with Bill Will.
Hey, guys.
And I'm joined here with Techno Trend Zero.
Oh, wow, it's just my name.
And I'm joined here with Mr. 170, AJ170.
Yeah, I just want to die.
So Techno Trend's actually going to introduce us to the first topic, so go right ahead.
All right, guys, so we're going to get right into it. So we're going to be talking about the iPod Touch 7th generation. Now, it has been rumored to be coming out. Apple might be coming out with this new product soon. We're not exactly sure because it is rumors, but tons of consumers are ready to have it because an iPod Touch is really nice to have. So basically, the point
of an iPod Touch is to have the cheaper price of anywhere between $300 to $600, depending on what they choose the price to be and what version of the actual gigabytes you buy or storage.
Anyways, back to relevance. So basically, the point of the iPod Touch was to have a device that has iOS running on it, but basically the cheapest unit they can sell, which is really good because the iPod Touch, I remember buying it for $200. That was a really good price. The rumors right now are that it's going to have a special type of screen, the same type of notch screen you guys see on the iPhone X and above. So that's going to be really awesome to see. Hopefully it will come out, but again, it is a rumor, so we're not exactly sure how it's going to look or even if it's coming out. But a new iPod Touch refresh is what we need right now.
I know the rumors say that it's going to have a notch and it's not going to have a home button, but for an iPod, I just don't see that happening. I feel like it's just going to be the same basic style. They're not going to put too much in the iPods. Like, I know it's a rumor, but it just doesn't feel like that's going to happen because, you know, Apple, like, honestly, it's even a shock that Apple would even consider working on the iPod Touch again. And of course, they're going to do that because they want to get more products out there, you know. And it's good because, you know, there hasn't been one in years. You know, the last one was the 6th gen. It was like 3-4 years ago they released it. So it's definitely been a very long time. So it is good that they're releasing this. But, you know, if they do happen to come out with a notch with it, then I'll be happy. I think that's nice. But I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, but if you look at it this way, iPod Touches, people used to buy them because they weren't the iPhone. They were a cheaper option. But now you can get refurbished 7s for dirt cheap, you know, about the same price. I think it's like $250 for a refurbished iPhone 7, which if you're going to get an iPod Touch, an iPhone 7 is more than enough for you.
Well, to backpack on that, you can also get a brand new iPhone SE for about $75 too.
Yeah, exactly. I think iPhone 4s are actually like $20-$25.
But to go, and it's now, let's say, I personally don't think Apple's going to, but let's say if they actually do end up visiting the iPod Touches again, the iPod Touch never really adapted or involved that whole curved feature, like curved design that the iPhone 6 and old newer has. They always had somewhat of a blocky shape to them, which is something I prefer. That's what I like about Apple's, back when they had all the phones that were shaped as a brick. That's what I preferred. But if they do this, one of the theories I seen on Twitter was that someone thinks it's going to be a 7-inch screen, which is a lot bigger than the XS Max, and that the iPod Touch is going to be towards actual gaming, because we know that the whole gaming community in mobile devices is getting bigger and bigger within the younger audience of people.
So you say the main question, though, would be, since it's a rumor, do you really think it's going to, like, release on time? Do you think it's going to be, like, all those other rumors and they're going to, like, fucking have to wait on it? See, that would be the main question of it, though.
From a business standpoint, I don't understand why they would really do that. Because who's really going to buy a $300, $400 phone or an iPod Touch when you can buy a $75 phone that has almost the same amount of speed and everything?
Yeah.
More of an interesting topic would be the iPhone 11 having three cameras and it's all inside of a block on the back, square on the back of your phone.
That's stupid. That looks so stupid.
I'm going to be like Peter Griffin up here and be like, that really grinds my gears, and just go into a whole little news, 10-minute news session about it.
Yeah, but if you think about it, that's what everyone said about the original, like, two cameras on the iPhone.
But that
was initially
bad.
Everyone said. No, but no, because the initial reaction was, oh, why do we need two cameras? It's probably going to cost more. We don't need it. And then look at everyone. Oh, I don't hear any of that anymore. So what's going to happen initially is probably, if they do have three cameras, they're going to be like, oh, it's trash. You don't need it. But then they're going to be using it, and it's going to be hush-hush all of a sudden because they're going to actually want it.
You think of that from a case point of view, and then also how easy it's going to be for that to break if it drops the wrong way or something goes into it, you know?
Mm. Yeah, but I'm saying I'm not defending Apple in any way, but Apple's been known to take the first step. Like, let's say, for example, the audio jack. They completely ripped it, and everyone was just, like, freaking out. And then now not everyone's freaking out. Some people are freaking out, but not everyone. They're, like, what's literally the just chill jack? About it. So I'm saying they also were one of the first phone manufacturers to add two cameras to the phone. I'm pretty sure there was actually an Android or two who did it first, but they're one of the first big companies to do it. And initially that went to the media. I hate that word, but to the media, it went really bad. Everyone's like talking bad about it, right? Yeah. But now we see that it, you know, it's nice to have a wide like lens and stuff. It's nice to have different pictures. It's really cool. And the iPhone camera itself is actually one of the best, I'd say. It's like as good as a DSLR, if not better. So, I don't know. I would say Apple knows what they're doing. And if they make a mistake, you know, there's always the next generation to, you know, make up for it.
Yeah, there's always trial and error.
That's the thing.
You know, it's like, you know, if it's for a good purpose, like if the camera is being all in like one area is for a good purpose, then I say go with it. If it's not, then you know, trial and error.
That's the thing though, we got two designs. We got the camera in the middle, and then we got the big block on the side. I would be much happier with the one in the middle, because I mean it looks kind of like an Android, and that's one of the negatives, but that looks more normal than a big block on the side. Because I understand where Techno's coming from. People complained with the camera with two lenses, but this is absolutely ridiculous. It's taken up half the iPhone's, like, the back of it. It just, honestly, it wouldn't look, you know, normal. It wouldn't look like a very nice-looking phone.
Preach, Apple! Woo! If Tim Cook is gonna tell his people that they need to adapt some Minecraft features like a blocky camera, then they need to make a blocky phone, alright? You can't go half Minecraft. You're gonna go Minecraft all the way or not at all.
Oh yeah, so speaking about Apple products, you guys heard about the AirPower, right? Basically, yeah. Like the Apple's charging, like their own charging pad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's been like many rumors as to, because Apple already announced that it's coming, right? But they haven't exactly released it to the public saying, we're going to get you these purchases by this amount of time. They're just saying it's coming out. They're hyping it up. But I haven't seen any videos of anyone making an actual like review. Because, you know, some of these big YouTubers, they make like a review about it like a month in advance or a couple weeks in advance, you know, because Apple supports them. But I've noticed that a bunch of YouTubers are making like videos on some fake ones, which actually work, but they don't work as well as, you know, a really good one would. Like you can see some on Amazon, on eBay. There's a bunch of like, you know, cheap ones that have been made out there. So big YouTubers actually use that instead of like the actual AirPower itself, which is kind of weird to see. Because usually, you know, Apple does supply it, but they haven't been releasing it or releasing features or actually releasing any news about it. So they've been pretty hush about it, which is like something Apple doesn't usually do. Apple's usually consistent about their dates and when they're going to release stuff. So, I mean, that's pretty odd to me.
I don't know. Like, that's the thing. I feel like we don't really need the AirPower Met, but at the same time, if they weren't ready to release it, they should have just waited, because that's unlike Apple. Their thing is like, we don't release things until they're ready, but clearly this wasn't ready, so why did they announce it, you know?
Look, I mean, if Steve Jobs would have been some of the original Macs. He would announce it before look at what Steve Jobs did with the original Macs. He would announce them before they were anywhere near ready, and then basically yell at his staff for overworking them to get everything done by release. But my thing about that is, if we look back in time, when the AirPods were announced, they were delayed. I don't remember how long, if it was a couple months or what, but they got delayed because there was this problem with it. It was delayed by almost half a year or something like that, if I remember correctly. And because of that delay, the technology in them fell back in time, and it wasn't the new current technology it would have been if it was released when they announced it. And my fear is something like that is going to happen with the AirPower thing because of how long it's going to be until it comes out. I think what their problem is because they're thinking at it from Apple's standpoint is, we need to implement some type of Apple technology in it. You look at their smart case, it has Apple technology in it. It actually syncs in with your iPhone. It doesn't just charge it. It helps out making everything run at full power all your processors and everything. It also makes your antenna strength better and things along the lines of that. Mm-hmm. So I think they're trying to figure out, what can we make the AirPower do? Why should people buy our AirPower over a cheap $20 Amazon pad off of Amazon that does this, that charges it too?
True.
They're trying to think of it from that point of view. They're trying to figure out, what can we do software-wise to this AirPower? And I think they kind of messed up there. Then that caused the delay.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, I agree, especially, like, their products. I've noticed, like, you brought up the AirPods. Like, the AirPods doesn't even have, like, wireless charging, which is kind of annoying. Like, it's a little thing, and maybe I expected too much from the AirPods, but, you know, it's really expensive. It's $150, and you're basically buying the Apple brand, which, I mean, I did buy. I'm not gonna lie, I got it for graduation, but I would expect an Apple product, which is $150, to come with wireless charging. I mean, it's everywhere. It's in all their iPhones, right? And this was released around the time where all these new iPhones were being released, so I would expect that the current technology would be implemented in our AirPods, which it wasn't.
Yeah, but to talk about the AirPods, I think they are worth the price. I originally started off with absolutely full-on hating them because they didn't fit my ears and they sounded like crap. But I bought.
Well, I remember you were tweeting about it.
Yeah, I bought some cheap $15 covers on the Amazon, and it actually made the sound so much better. It's probably the clearest sound I've ever heard, and it has... Oh my god, there's literally so much bass in those, I can't believe it. I can literally feel it on the side of my face after I've put those on there.
I definitely agree. When I first got them, they were like, but then I got the fit just right in my ear, and I figured how to put them in, that way they don't fall out, and they sound really good, and the battery life on them is amazing, and out of all the wireless earbuds I've ever tried, they are by far the best.
Yeah,
I just don't like the fact you have to buy a third-party thing with the AirPods to actually have them go at their full potential. And how one of the AirPods will go out. Because my right AirPod just doesn't work anymore. I found out that's a really common issue with AirPod owners.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have to buy anything. I just figured out how to, you know, put it in my ear. Like, I never had an issue with, like, their standard headphones falling out, but like, if you do have that issue, then AirPods aren't gonna fit in your ears. There's no change between your normal wired headphones and those.
They do fit better. I can tell you that firsthand, because almost every single plastic little earbuds never fit my ears. They just fall out, and the AirPods are probably the first ones that actually do kind of fit in. It's just I have to continuously push them in if I'm moving around a lot. Because I used them when I used to work at Amazon.
That's weird, because I'm pretty sure I have small ears for like my size, but for me, they never fallen out. Like, the only time I'd be scared is when I'm brushing my teeth. I know that's weird, brushing your teeth with AirPods, but I brush my teeth or wash like the tip of my face or something. Like, yeah, that's when I could sort of feel them falling out. But other than that, like running and jumping and stuff, I never have them fall out. But if you guys want to, like, if you guys have issues like with it falling out, there's a bunch of cushions they sell on eBay and Amazon. They're like $5, and you can buy like a pack of like five, which are really cool because some of them are for sports, some of them are like for just like hanging on in there, and some of them are comfort, which is pretty dope. So, I mean, AirPods themselves, they're really nice because they're super small. I remember like people used to talk about how they look like dental floss and all this other stuff, but because they were broke back in the day and they couldn't buy it. But now look at everyone flexing. Flexing 24/7 with AirPods.
The thing with me is I don't really like AirPods. Not because I don't have them, but I just don't really think that there's...
It's because you don't have them.
No, it's because there's like, I don't see a need to get them. They're too expensive. I know, like, for, you know, for what you get, like, you know, the price is good, but like, I just, you know, I'd rather just get wired earphones. It's a waste of money for me. I'd rather get an Apple product.
That's true. But let's say someone gave them to you, because someone gave them to me for graduation. So if someone gave them to you, you would still use them, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't use them all the time, but like, I'd use them every once in a while.
Oh, yes, you would. Don't lie. Yes, you would. They implement them beautifully into iOS.
I will admit they are addicting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's cool beautiful things like the thing you made a video on, how you can like secretly listen to people. Like, that was like...
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Like a bunch of cool tricks.
Yeah.
Like, hype it up so much, but then it's, like, not coming out just yet.
Well, I mean, I think that
a little bit cryptic, I think, you know?
Yeah. I think they plan to bring it out early, and then, like, plans change, and that's why it's taking so long. I definitely think it's going to come out this year. I just... don't know when, maybe mid-2019, end of 2019. I just can't see it extending to 2020. Like, I just don't know. Like, it could, but 2019's probably when it's going to come out.
Why do we need AirPods?
I mean, I don't really think we do, and I'm never going to get the AirPod on that, but, you know, if it comes, great. If not, oh well. Like,
it's for the privileged.
I'd like to mention the iPhone XR. With that thing, it's funny, like, the price, like, people are just not, you know, purchasing them. Like, it got so bad to where the iPhone was like $750, I think it was like around there, and then for a limited time they pushed it down to $450. You knew at that point Apple was extremely desperate, like, to get some sales.
Yeah, with the trade-in, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, that was that's a problem. I mean they didn't. Apparently, that was, like, their best-selling iPhone compared to the XS and the XS Max. I mean, the only phones I see worth buying are the XR and the XS Max. The XS is, like, it's very similar to the, you know, X. So, I didn't really see that much changes in that one. But, you know, still, apparently, the XR was doing way better. But there's rumors of them, like, cutting back production on that phone. So, like, you know, honestly, I don't know, like, exactly, you know, what's going on with Apple. You know, you hear different things, but, you know, definitely they're not doing well. That's you know, definitely happening. The next topic is about Photoshop coming to the iPads. So this is very exciting because, you know, there was a powerful Photoshop, you know, this Photoshop Touch. It worked on iPhones and iPads, and it was out for a very long time, and it stopped working for iOS 11. And, you know, now we don't have a Photoshop like that anymore unless you're on Android or you're below iOS 11. So, for them to bring this onto the iPads, this is going to be extremely exciting. You know, it looks more powerful than Photoshop Touch, for sure. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not coming to the iPhones. I'm a little, you know, not happy with that. But so hopefully some changes happen with that. But what do you guys think about this?
I mean, the world needs more Photoshopping apps. I mean, you know, it's all good, you know, like, if it comes to, like, devices and whatnot. Because if you really think about it, though, sad that it's not coming to the iPhones. But, I mean, at least it's still coming to the iPads, though. So, I mean, at least there's a plus in there.
I mean, there's a chance it could come to the iPhones as well. I mean, it's
a chance.
Well, to piggyback on that, there's actually a tweak you can use that will actually allow you to install iPad-only apps on your iPhone. Now, some apps will actually download and fully work. It just won't look right. And other ones won't install at all, just completely. You'll get an error saying it can't be installed.
Well, that's some good news, then. It might be possible later down the line.
It might be possible to install it on your iPhone with a jailbreak.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you think about it, Adobe's very smart. Especially, like, you know, nowadays they make you sign in, and obviously there's cracked stuff. I'm not going to say who downloads that stuff, but, you know, nowadays you need a free trial, and there's a bunch of other stuff. You need to pay for it monthly, right? So the only issue I'm going to have is, I think this is going to be an application where you need to sign in. Now, the issue with that is, obviously, you can't pirate it, no tweak box, no nothing. You can't actually do anything unless someone, let's say, pays for it, finds some sort of loophole into it, and then cracks it. That's going to be the really big issue. It's going to be expensive because I'm pretty sure maybe it'll cost less because it's on the iPad and maybe because it's for education, but I really doubt it. I think it's going to be just for the iPad, like legally, obviously, no tweak involved. It's just going to be for the iPad because they did advertise it as for the iPad only. And I think that they're basically trying to bring out the strengths of the iPad itself. So one of the strengths could be obviously movie editing with iMovie, but at the same time, iMovie can run an iPod 4, like not that hard. But what's going to be really cool is if they have a select app just for the iPad to make it shine that much more, I guess the iPad itself will give itself a use. Because as of right now, the only use it has is like a bigger screen and maybe a lot more power. I guess that's what they're trying to advertise it as. Maybe like different, a smaller PC or something like that.
Well, the iPad already has a full-on actual photo editor like Photoshop. I mean, should have just about every single feature that Photoshop has. And it's I think it costs $20 if I remember correctly. So it's not like iPad doesn't have those nice exclusive apps already. They do. They also have video editors that the iPhone doesn't have. It's just on the iPhone, we just don't have any photo editors. We have Pixelmator, but it's complete trash.
It is trash.
I still use my iPod Touch, my my iPhone SE because it's on iOS 10 and I still have PS Touch on it, so I make my thumbnails with.
I have an iPad on iOS 9, so I mean, it's not like I'm ever going to edit a thumbnail or a video over there, but like if I needed to, of course I could get it as well. Maybe I'll like make a video one day just showing people looking back what it was like back in the day or something like that, you know.
Well, that's a video you could do right there if you have another iPad that's on iOS 12 when the app comes out, because it's not going to support iOS 11. It's going to be iOS 12 and up. That's common sense. Yeah. But you could make a comparison video of Photoshop 1 versus Photoshop 2.0.
The thing with this is I think, isn't the app like gray or something? It's not black like the other Photoshop apps are. So I'm not that, if that's the case, I think it is. I'm not the biggest fan of the look then. I mean, as long as it gets the job done, that's all that matters. But the look just didn't seem that interesting to me.
Yeah, no, it didn't have a dark theme. It looked like it only had a light theme, like gray and white were the two colors, like some Windows 98 stuff. And it didn't really look that aesthetically pleasing, you know?
Apparently, like, they're going to, you know, there's going to be a decent amount of features and they're going to start out small and they're going to add more with time. But I wonder, like, how similar it will be to the PC Photoshop.
Well, actually, to piggyback on there is I think it's going to have all of the features the PC is going to have, because it's already said that I don't know what the Photoshop files are, if they're like whatever like extension that they are, but it already said you can transfer the projects from the iPad over to your actual computer.
Oh.
I don't know if you're going to be able to do it to Windows. What I'm thinking they're going to do is with the whole account system they have, I think you're going to be able to save it cloud and then log into it on the computer. And I think it's going to be like $5 or $10 more of what you're already paying on PC to get it on the on your iPad too.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what I think they're going to do.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting.
And then have a separate, cheaper membership that's half the price of the PC, but for the iPad. Because they already know they can't charge, like, whatever the full price of the actual computer version is on the iPad just because it's an iPad. They do that, then that's going to be all hell break loose, because then everyone's going to start doing that. You're going to have new games come out that are going to be $60 a piece.
So the next topic has to do with this new app called Comic Box. Sorry we're a little late to talking about this, but this application was released about a week ago. It's basically an app that allows you to read comics and manga, and it's actually made by MediaBox. They actually also used to be Playbox HD, so they're doing a lot of cool things, so, you know, I'm really happy with what they're doing. One of the negatives I have about their app, though, is that the logo, it looks the exact same as the MediaBox logo. I think they could have done something a little, you know, more creative with it. Also, I think it's cool that they got it on the App Store, but nobody's talking about it. It's like me and Mr. R are like the only ones, you know, talking about this. You know, he's the one that sent it to me. I made a video. Nobody else is even mentioning that it's on the App Store. I know there's ads on it, and of course there's the plus that allows you to get rid of ads. But still, it's cool that it's on the App Store. I mean, I honestly don't know if Apple would take that down, but, you know,
they will.
Yeah, most likely. But
they've done in the past with alternatives I've made videos on.
Yeah, but what do you guys think about this?
I mean, dude, that's crazy, though. The thing has at least been on there for about 3 to 4 months, if I looked up the information correctly.
Yeah.
The one on the App Store doesn't have the ads, which, I mean, I guess if you're into not wanting ads, then the one on the App Store is not for you. If you don't mind some ads, then it's a win-win, the way I look at it. And then you got these other apps on the App Store that are, like, similar to it, that are, like, comics and manga. I mean, if you look at some of the ones on there, or just, like, some of the other comic and manga apps, they look exactly like it. I mean, like, the UI and how it looks.
But I've seen those apps, and, like, I've only seen anime and manga apps in the App Store. I haven't seen ones with comic books. Like, it's based on what I've seen. Yeah. And I haven't really seen, like, I mean, this feels like a first, like, that it has comics and manga. But one of the things that I don't like is that the apps, they just have so many errors in it. Every time you open it up, there's an error. You hit comic, manga, it gives you an error. Sometimes when you're trying to load the comic book, there's an error. There's, like, a lot of errors. I mean, of course, you gotta close and reopen the app, and sometimes you just gotta refresh, but I don't understand. Like, I know that, you know, it's a work in progress. They're gonna, you know, with time they're gonna improve this, but it's, you know, it's a pretty big issue. A lot of complaints about it.
I mean, you would think with the time they've had it on there, you would think all those, like, bugs and errors would have been gone by now. I mean, I'm ultimately surprised that they're not. But true, Joe. I'm just surprised, you know, that they're kind of still on there.
I think the Playbox team is made up of two people. I think they have the developer and the person that runs the social media.
Yeah.
Or it's one person that does it all. I think it's one or the other.
That makes more sense.
Firsthand, when you develop something and people find errors and stuff like that, replicating the error is the first step in doing it. That's probably one of the hardest steps, is replicating the error, so then you can actually pinpoint what's going wrong. Then you have to figure out, well, what did I do to actually cause this? Then you figure out what you did, and then you fix what you did, and then you start getting, then you get a new error that comes up that's worse than the previous one, and that's normally how things like that go.
True. I think people just need to kind of complain and let them know that there's errors going on.
I guarantee you they know about it. I think it's a server issue.
A lot of people, they're mad that Moviebox is gone, so of course they're going to, you know, Mediabox, and, you know, they're basically number one now. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say what would be number one. I mean, I consider that as number one, but, you know, now that this Moviebox Pro is going around, you know, people think that that's, like, the same thing. It's a new version, so maybe they consider that number one, but, you know, the Mediabox, you know, they're number one because, I mean, they're not scummy. You know, they're legit. They're basically Playbox HD, which that app wasn't even that good to begin with. It was decent, but this, you know, this new Mediabox app is like a billion times better. So, you know, I consider them number one here.
I didn't know Moviebox shut down. I was looking around for video ideas because I did that occasionally inside my absence. And I seen a thing called Moviebox Pro, and I was like, wow, I'm surprised Moviebox just became a sold-out and made a VIP version. I installed the app, and I was like, holy crap, they changed the UI a lot. And that I literally thought it was Moviebox 2.0, and I guarantee you, if I thought that, everyone else that's using Moviebox is going to be thinking the same thing.
Honestly, I thought that.
Yeah,
I thought it too at first.
I didn't, because I was smart.
I was ultimately surprised when I went to test flight and then realize all that negative shit about Moviebox Pro.
DTA Themes was talking to me in Twitter, and he said, yeah, just to let you know, they're not made by the same developers. So I was like, oh, thanks for letting me know. And then weeks later, all this Moviebox Pro information's coming out. They're scummy, they're stealing your information.
No, the only thing that they track is your account information, and they have to do that. Well, they can't do the whole VIP thing without doing that.
Oh, I don't know. I heard something
about... That's the only thing that's sent back to their servers as your account information, and that way has to be done. There's no way around it.
Yeah, I don't know where I heard
I've
that.
I've seen the code myself.
I mean, somebody told me a long time ago that they were tracking, like, IPs or shit like that. But
the only thing that's being tracked is the... your account information, I think it's a little bit of your device information. I'm pretty sure it's your what iPhone you have, what iOS, if I'm not mistaken. But everything else, like IPs and all that, it's not being tracked. And if it was, there's no use in that.
Yeah.
There's literally no use in that of having a bunch of different people's IP addresses.
Oh, I guess I kind of understand that now.
like a week after all this, eventually, it was like Joseph Shenson actually revealed that Tutu made this, and then AppValley revealed Tutu made this. So, you know, at that point, I mean, I'm kind of shocked. Like, I'm just thinking to myself, like, why? I just can't believe Tutu's just trying to, like, come in, and then they're like trying to take over every little, like, scene. They're trying to take over the movie scene. You know, maybe the emulators soon, maybe live TV. You know, they're trying to take over everything, it feels like. And, you know, I mean, I was honestly shocked. Like, it felt similar. You know, similar kind of situation to, you know, the Nest Tool situation. But at the same time, you know, I just didn't think that it was them. But then I found out it was. And, you know, I don't really see them promoting it that much. So I don't understand. Like, it was kind of confusing to me at first. So
they already have an emulator in the works.
Really?
It's going to be it's going to cost money too, just like the Moviebox does.
Wow.
Just like their YouTube downloader and everything else.
Yeah, so...
And when you don't pay for it, there's going to be an actual ad in the game.
Oh. So is it, like, basic information on this emulator? Like, is there, like, an ETA on it, or not really that much yet?
They haven't even announced it. I have my sources of people that tell me things.
Ooh, AJ got connections.
I know an ex-employee of Tutu, and I know someone who's current working for Tutu.
Well, that's weird.
Ooh, on the down low, huh?
Oh, I exposed Tutu.
Yeah, I don't support Tutu. I'll never make anything on their videos unless it's like a, like hurting them in some type of way.
Yeah, that's
what I like to hear.
I don't agree with their practices, what they do with their employees, and how they handle their customers or users. YouTube makes over $1 million a week, and I'm not even exaggerating.
Oh, what?
Multi-million dollars a week. Like, multiple.
That's insane.
I need to work for Tuesday.
They don't even pay their employees minimum wage.
What?
Really?
Well, look at all the apps they released that cost money. Like, the one that sent me over the line to where I was done with Tutu was when they made that whole YouTube downloader that cost money. That's what crossed the line for me.
Yeah, a relatively simple app that cost money.
Yeah, and it wasn't even anything advanced either. It was really web page, one that loads the web crappy web version of it and then installs and downloads video, which isn't hard to do. You could do the same thing for free with Puffin, Poofin, whatever it's called.
Isn't their company name like Fen or something like that? I heard Joe say it was like Fang or Fang or something. I don't know how it's said.
Yeah, they have a technical name for them. Yeah, they took over the Android community before they took over the iOS community.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
They were already making at least about a good million or a couple million a week off of the Android. And then just a couple months ago, when App Valley became popular, that's when they started making a couple million a week off of iOS too. I mean, you have the Tweetbox and App Valley and all that, but it's not as good. It doesn't have that horse categorization and the native apps and everything. We don't have AppVian anymore.
Oh yeah,
eShare now costs money.
Yeah, like that's the thing is AppVian. I went to their site and it was like a news website or something. It wasn't even like paid apps anymore.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me. I tried reaching out to them too because I had a contact with them and I couldn't get a single reply. I'll still remember the OG Tiger.
Oh yeah, I remember that website. Wasn't that like you could upload your? You said something because like.
Yep, you can upload any IPA to there and it would sign.
That is really good. Like what exactly happened?
Well, that was like back on iOS 8.1.2 or whenever Apple got rid of the date trick and made it to where you had to get everything signed. Certificate. Oh. It was found around September, correctly, which was like a good couple months after iOS, the iEmulator's website found out that it needs to be signed.
Yeah,
because they found that out by accident, because the developer of the two apps had their own developer certificate signed it, not knowing it would get revoked, and they lost over $150 because...
Wow.
All right, so earlier today, Pawn20Wind, which is one of the developers of Uncover, made a really interesting tweet that I see, and he basically said, the issues that caused random reboots was found and is being worked on. So that means that pretty soon we're going to have a 100% stable iOS 11 jailbreak as if it was on iOS 9, from what he's saying.
That's
and
good.
Another thing to add on to that is my iPhone 8 was jailbroken for over 3 days straight on iOS 11.4 Beta 3 before I sold it to Apple. Yeah. The thing that was causing all of my random reboots was Circube. That's what made the jailbreak so unstable. That there was a line of code, a hook, that Circube has to have in order for it to work that messes up the jailbreaks.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't you have a talk with Jake James about that? I think I saw that.
Yeah, but Jake didn't know that, surprisingly. Jake is normally my go-to person that helps me out when it comes to jailbreak stuff when I mess up. And Jake, I don't think he knew that. Pawn20Wind actually seen my tweet and replied to me. I've reached out to him earlier today asking him if there's anything else that causes them so that I can make a video on, like, how to make I jailbreak more stable, but he never replied to me, unfortunately. We need, like, Taiji or Pangu or another team like that to come back and make a jailbreak for the current iOS. If they did that, no matter how unstable it was, if it only lasted 12 hours, that would bring the jailbreak community back to life. We have that new Chinese team that said that they're not going anywhere and they do plan on releasing stuff publicly. They never sold their exploits either. It was rumored that they sold their exploits. One of the devs actually replied to me and told me, and it's a confirmed dev of the Twitter of the dev, and he told me straight up that that was a complete rumor, and he got really upset at me for saying it.
This is the end of today's episode of 941 Podcast. We hope you guys enjoyed it. And if you guys are listening and you'd like to possibly be a guest in the future, just let us know on Twitter at 941 Podcast. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. See you guys next time.